The Lord laid on my heart through this week as I was thinking about the service, as I was reading and praying about the Psalms and reading through those Psalms, about the circumstance. And sometimes we forget that Bible stories or Bible occurrences, historical events. This morning I want to share with you about the Passover, and I want to talk about the event of Passover. Then I want to talk about the celebration of Passover, what the Jews are doing currently. And a couple of years ago, I had it set up just like a Jewish family would do the Passover. But we'll look at something like that because it's in our text this morning. But then I want to talk to us about our Passover. And I'll try to get it done before we get off the air this morning. So you look with me, please, in the book of Exodus. I'm going to read a kind of a lengthy passage this morning because it is our text, and I'm going to read this. And notice beginning at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of your year. What's about to happen is going to change their lives forever. What's going to happen is going to change their calendar forever. And you remember the story, and I won't go back and go through all of it, but Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob, and he wrestled with God. God changed his name to Israel, and he had 12 sons. And that's where we get the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those sons' name was Joseph, and he was hated of his brother because he was special in the eyes of his father. And they took him, and they were going to kill him, and one of them talked about killing him, but they sold him into slavery, and he went down into Egypt. But God was with Joseph because God had a sovereign plan, not only for Joseph, but for the whole nation of Israel. And so he went down, and as God would bless him, he was elevated. I won't go through all the wonderful things that happens, tremendous truth that's there. But Joseph was elevated to be second in all the land of Egypt. And it was a great famine in the land. And back in the Holy Land, back in Israel, there was famine there. But they had heard that there was grain and corn down in Egypt. And so they went down to get the corn. And of course, Joseph, who had been betrayed by them, and so he was the one who was distributing the corn and the grains out to them. Well, long story short is, it finally comes down to where all of the family comes down into Egypt. And they went there for a time until the famine was over. They were given a little place because of Joseph's a place of prestige with the Pharaoh. He gave them a little place of land called the land of Goshen. There were 70 of them that went down. And God had already said this, I will bless thee in the nation of Israel, of Egypt. And he did. They stayed there 430 years. But after a few years, something happened. And it's in the first chapter of the book of Exodus. The Bible says there was another king who rose who knew not Joseph. Instead of befriending the Jews, he became the enemy of the Jews. He began to see them multiplying and was intimidated by them, thought they might take over. So he enslaved the whole Jewish nation. So for somewhere 400 years or so, they've lived in slavery. And it got so intense, they began to turn their face to the Lord and cry out to him. And then that's how the book of Exodus begins. God has heard their cry. He's brought them to a place of repentance. And they want him. They're seeking him. And he raises up Moses supernaturally and brings Moses in to lead them out of bondage. When he goes in, he tells the Pharaoh that God said, let my people go. And he refused. He said, who is your God? He said, I'm the ruler of the whole world. But at any rate, systematically, through what the Bible calls plagues, God did miracles and judged that land and actually challenged and defeated and destroyed every one of their gods. But he still refused to let them go out, wouldn't release them. And the last plague that he sent was called the plague of the firstborn. And God said, in the land of Egypt, the firstborn in every family will die. The firstborn among all of your cattle, your sheep, everything else is going to die. And it's all going to happen in one night. And so God pronounced that judgment. And so what's happened here now in chapter 12 when you come to it, God is now speaking to Moses and Aaron as to what to tell their people in preparation for this great judgment. Let me begin reading again at verse number 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of year for you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying unto them, the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to the house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male in the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day in the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. There were going to be several of them. It's going to be one per household, one per two households, but they're going to kill several lambs simultaneously at one time. Notice what he said, verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the lintel of the house. That's the top part of it, of the door frame, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with the legs and with the putrescence, which is the insides together thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which is remaineth it until the morning you shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins gird, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, for you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. There's the word, the Passover. They're to eat it, dressed, holding their staff in the hand, shoes on, because they're getting ready to leave. They're going to be delivered out of 430 years of bondage. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thus they call it the Passover. He passes over them when he sees the blood. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for memorial, and you shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day shall you put away leaven out of your house. Leaven is a type of sin. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation unto you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may he be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for it is the selfsame day that I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your congregation by ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the one and the 20th day of the month. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it be a stranger or a born in the land. Ye shall eat no leaven in all your habitations. Ye shall eat unleavened bread. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of being in the house of God this morning. How my heart rejoiced as I came into the building to get to speak to some of your people, to feel the presence of God, to be blessed in the Sunday school hour as Brother Barry shared the word of God. And God, I thank you for the morning service, the great congregational singing. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the choir this morning and for Black Creek and Miss Juanita. And God, I thank you that God, already we've been ushered into your presence. Now, Lord, I need your touch. I need your anointing. I thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you've done. But our Father, everybody in this building will live forever somewhere. And God, I pray that we'd understand that all these things that happen throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, our Father, are for our learning. Our Father, I confess before you this morning that there's no good thing in me, but I'm thankful for the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost. And I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you would speak through me this morning through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the New Testament, it says that many things that happened in the Old Testament were for ensamples to us. That is, that we would learn from those lessons. And one of the paramount lessons is pictured for us in this historical event called Passover. The children of Israel have been in bondage, as I said, for over 400 years now. They are helpless. They're living in a foreign land. They cannot deliver themselves. They're captured there in that land, and they are slave labor working. No way for them to get out. And beyond that, they cannot help themselves. They don't have the ability or the power to deliver themselves. They are living now, after this pronouncement, under the sentence of death. The death angel will come. The Lord will come across that whole land. But he's given them a way to where they will not die like the other men. And here they are. God has the cure for them. And what a picture we see in these people in bondage in that land. They're living in a foreign land. The Bible says of me and you who are believers, this world is not our home. We are called strangers and pilgrims down here. Strangers mean we're not identified with this world. We live in the world because we're humans, and we live and we function and have jobs and have families, but this world is not our home. For us, this is a foreign land. We're like Abraham. We're looking for that country whose builder and maker is God. And down in this world is we're strangers, but we're called pilgrims. Because pilgrims, not just wandering, they are going somewhere. And for us who are saved, we're going somewhere. But here's a picture of lostness of men, women, boys, and girls. They're in a situation they can't get out of. They're captive. The sentence of death is hanging over their head. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whereas by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And that all have sinned, and the sentence of death hangs over every person in the sound of my voice, because we're all sinners. We've all sinned, and they're there in that situation. That's where they are. But they've cried for God to send a redeemer. He sent a man by the name of Moses who's going to take them out. But they're not delivered by the hand of Moses. They're going to be delivered by the hand of Almighty God. I want you to notice this event that takes place. They said you were to take a lamb per household, and according to the eating, because they're going to eat it. And if you've got more than you need, if you just got three or four in your family and you don't need that much, bring a neighbor in. But anyhow, every individual was allotted a portion. It's for every individual. Salvation is not for a house, it's not for a country, it's per individual, per house. He said, for every man according to his eating. I can't be saved for you. You can't be saved for me. Children, mom and dad can't save you. You have to be saved for yourself. Every person has to have a portion of the Lamb. He that hath the Son of God hath life. And so every individual, here's the lesson, every individual, every person in that house has to partake of that Lamb that night. And then he said, you put him up, and he has to be spotless. He has to be pure. You put him up, and you keep him for that length of time. And then on the 14th day, you'll take him, and you'll kill him. Now, he's been in the home. He's been right there with them. Every day, those kids have gone out and fed him, watered him, pet him, loved him. I love the song that Joe Berry sings about the lamb, and he may sing that before Easter's over. Watch the lamb, watch the lamb. But as I was thinking about that picture, you pick out that little lamb. Who is it that doesn't love a little lamb? Who doesn't have a compassionate heart? And day by day they'd rub him, day by day they'd feed him. And then came that fateful time that night on the 14th day when they would kill him. And they would cut his throat and catch the blood and it's to put on the doorpost and the top lintel, the top of the door frame. And he said, it's a token for you, for you. Think about this deliverance. God had this wonderful plan for their deliverance. He planned it through the blood. They would be saved from that by the blood. And the blood had to be applied. Jesus Christ died for you. He paid his sin debt for you. And it's already done. He has paid all of our sin debt for the whole world. But the thing is, it has to be applied. It has to be a token for you. It is a symbol for you that you've been saved by the grace of God. And they had to put that blood on there. And when they did that, they were obeying God and putting that blood on there for every one of them. That night, the death angel came by. I could only imagine what it was like. They inside, perhaps as it began to get darker and darker, and they began to be fearful, perhaps. Somebody, another old song says, look, see if the blood's still there. I can only imagine what they were thinking. But as that death angel came, in my mind, I was thinking about him beginning down on the other side of Egypt and coming across. And as he came through, one after one, the firstborn would collapse and fall and die of men and beast. And so not only was the progression of that of the God coming across that night, but you could hear a wave of wailing and crying and screaming and hollering. And oh, listen, these Jews are inside that place. And is this going to keep us safe? Here's the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and they're being crushed by the hand of a sovereign God. Is it going to be good for us? But by faith, they've applied it, and they're staying there by faith. And when he came by, I'm thinking, my friend, that in the larger area of Egypt, there was weeping and wailing and just crying out and begging God, and it was a horrible thing. But inside those Jewish homes, there was also weeping. When it was over with, there was weeping, but not weeping for sadness, but weeping and rejoicing for happiness that the blood has been sufficient. The blood has saved us, and the blood's kept us from dying in this place. The blood's been applied. Oh, listen, I this morning, Brother Bear read a scripture, and I had been sharing, I had some things on my heart, but I do want to turn over here and read this first to you in the book of 1 Peter, because it applied so well to what the Lord laid on my heart to preach. In the book of 1 Peter, I want to read to you verse number 19, and what a blessing this is. It says this, you're not redeemed, of course, with silver and gold in verse number 18, but verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter, no doubt, is thinking back about his Jewish history. And that lamb on Passover had to be without blemish and without spot. They shut him up on the 10th day until the 14th day. And they watched him, making sure there was nothing in him, no spot. And Jesus Christ had been on trial for 3.5 years among all the nation of Israel. And they, like Pilate, I find no fault in this man. He had no sin. He'd never sinned once in thought or deed. He was absolutely a sinless, perfect lamb. And here the lamb that slain that night was a spotless lamb. But all the way to the book of 1 Peter, Peter's remembering that. And he said, we were redeemed not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Son of God, as a lamb without spot and without blemish. And so they received the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, speaking of Moses, that through faith, they kept the Passover. Their act of doing that night what he told them to do, apply the blood, it was an act of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not works. You can't earn it. They 400 years had proven they can't get out of that bondage. They can't deliver themselves. But in one night, by applying that blood, God's going to deliver them. And they're going to be free, and they'll lead. And leaving out, not with 70, but somewhere in the neighborhood of, most Bible scholars say, probably 3 million of them left out that night because of the blood delivered them instantaneously, each one of them. By faith, they trusted God, and it says of Moses, by faith, and thank God they received that. What a blessing it was. I want us to turn over. I want to look at a passage of Scripture. What an awful scene that must have been. But quickly now, I want to turn our attention to the New Testament. And I want to turn and have you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're moving ahead in history because all that went on back there was real. It was history. It was fact. And they were delivered by that, by that shed blood of that lamb. But all of that and all the sacrifices ever offered in the tabernacle or in the temple after Solomon built the temple, they were all looking forward to something else. They were looking forward to what John saw when he stood by the river and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And notice in this passage of Scripture, in the book of Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 17. Notice what it says. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread." Remember what he told them? They're beginning to go into the season of Passover. They are not to have any leaven in their house for 7 days. It's a type of sin. It's have sin purged and out of their house for 7 days. And the disciples came to Jesus and said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" They're getting ready to celebrate Passover. They're coming into Jerusalem, and they came in, I believe, singing those psalms. But they're going to get ready to observe Passover. And he said, "Go into the city, such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. What are they doing? They're taking Passover. And all the elements that I showed you, by the time of Jesus, they had them. They've changed some over the years, but they had their, what the Lord said, "You eat unleavened bread." And so there was unleavened bread there. And if you were here the night I showed you the Jewish Passover, they used matzah bread. Matzah bread is really like a cracker. It's thin, and it's been baked. He said, "You don't boil it, you bake it." It means it puts through the fire, and fire speaks of judgment. And what happened on Christ on the cross was the judgment of God fell on all of my sin and all of your sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at that piece of matzah bread, I wished I had one this morning, it's full of holes. It's pierced through and through. There's coming a day when the Jews, who right now are blind, can't understand, they don't see Christ, but one of these days they'll look on him whom they have pierced. And so here's this piece of bread representing the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been through the fire. It's been through the judgment. It's pierced. And then they take that bread, and they eat that bread, and they have bitter herbs. Why do they have bitter herbs? They have bitter herbs to remind them every time they do this Passover of where they came from, the bitterness of their slavery. You ought not ever forget where you came from, what God did for you. He saved you out of sin. We were all lost and on our way to hell. We don't have anything to boast about. Don't have anything to boast about. We're saved by grace through faith in Him. And so they make ready the feast, and Jesus sat down with them. And notice verse number 21, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say to him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for him if he'd not been born." Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, they're doing the Passover, and in the Jewish tradition, they take of the elements. They all have to take some of those bitter herbs. They all take a bit of that cracker. They have a shank bone of a lamb there, and they have salt there that reminds them of their tears and all those elements. And so they've already done that. But then right after that, they will have a meal of celebration, just kind of like a homecoming meal. They'll eat. But now, this is at that time, I think they probably have just finished with the ceremonial part of the Passover. God told Moses and Israel, you observe this in the first month, which is now April. The Jewish religious calendar starts in April, the 14th day of the month, and it coincides kind of with coincides with the crucifixion of Christ and death, like the Passover lamb died. And then later the resurrection, it has the ceremony of Pentecost and then the tabernacles or booth. But here he's sitting. They've just gone through the Jewish tradition. They thought about the bondage. They thought about how helpless they were as a people. And here now they're living in freedom. And thank God for that. And why was it? It was because of the blood of that lamb. Now notice what he does. And while they were eating, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. Now, this bread is unleavened bread. It has to be, because they don't have any bread leaven anywhere. So it's not like a big yeast roll or anything like that. It's a hard, condensed piece of bread. And it's symbolic, because that bread is symbol of his body. And there's no leaven in it, which is a type of sin. He was absolutely sinless. He was a perfect Lamb of God. And he takes that bread and he breaks it. And he said, this is my body, not of a sacrificial lamb, not of this symbolic lamb that we have here tonight, but I am the Lamb of God. This body is what's broken for you. It will be battered beyond human recognition. He'll be beaten with a cat of nine tails. He'll be beaten with a rod. He'll be beaten with their fists. They'll pull his beard from his face. They'll put a crown of thorns on it. That body will be mutilated beyond human identification. And then he goes on. He said, this is my body, this is my body. Gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body. And in that, you remember in that Jewish ceremony, how that we had those cups of the wine there, the juice that they use? Well, he picked up one of those. One of them is the cup of redemption. He could have picked up celebrations from others. I believe with all my heart, he picked up the cup of redemption, symbolic of the blood of the Lamb of God, of the Lamb that was slain for Passover. But in this occasion, it's not a little fuzzy lamb. It is the Son of God incarnate in human flesh. And he said, this is my blood. Look in verse 12. And he took the cup and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Oh, listen, he's saying to them, I am the Passover lamb. He is our Passover. In the book of 2 Corinthians, he's identified by that term. He, Christ, who is our Passover. He is our Passover lamb. It's his blood that brings redemption. And thank God for that. Here he instituted the Lord's Supper. And listen, upon the first day of the week now, that they're crucifying him right around the time of the Passover. And he'll be in that grave 3 days and three nights. But upon the first day of the week, he'll come out. And the Bible says, as they came early in the morning upon the first day of the week, as it began to dawn until the first day of the week, he wasn't there. He was already resurrected. He was already gone. And thank God for that. Their crucifixion, their death of that little lamb, that ceremony of the Passover changed their calendar forever. It begins now in the month of April. And here for us, it changed everything for us. It made us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus when we found the Lord, or when he found us, and when he saved us. And we don't worship on Saturday or the Sabbath. We worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, because it's a new beginning. New beginning for us, 7 days in the week, eighth day, the new beginning begins all over again. And thank God for that. It's a new beginning when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works. He that night delivered over 3 million Jews because of the blood that was on that. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. My question is to you. Paul said, we're not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has the blood been applied? Do you know him? I could have baptized you. I could have baptized you twice or three times. You could be a member of every church in this county. But if you don't have the blood applied to your life, you'll be in hell for all eternity. Only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can you be saved. By faith. By faith. Hebrews said, by faith that Moses kept the Passover. And by faith believe that the lamb is slain. By faith believe the blood is shed. He paid the redemption price for your sin. But you have to receive him by faith. Let's bow together. Friends in the media audience and in the radio audience, I plead with you this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. As we approach Calvary and the tomb and the resurrection, thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for you, that Passover lamb, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. How do you do that? What do you mean, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I believe a believing heart is an asking heart. And I believe it's in the Bible. He said, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And in verse 13, he said this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, not any good deed. We're enslaved. We can't get out. We can't deliver ourselves. Can't do anything about it. But he's already done something. He already had a plan. He shed his blood that we might have everlasting life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, right where you are, in the radio audience, the media audience, or in this auditorium, would you right now, by faith, call on him? He's more real than I am. If I could forgive all your sin, if I could make sure you was in heaven, I don't want anybody in this building or anybody in the media audience to go to hell, but I can't do a thing about it other than preach to you and pray for you. But if you call on him, he said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Call on him. Come to him in faith right now. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Would you pray something like this right now from your heart? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And God, I can't change it. I can't do any different. But God, you've given your son the Passover lamb without spot and without blemish that I might be saved. And I receive him right now. I accept him by faith. Just as surely as those Hebrews put the blood on the doorpost, I by faith now receive. God, I pray you'd wash my sins away in the precious blood of the Lamb. Your promise is that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. And right now, by faith, I'm going to ask you to save me. Lord, come in my heart, forgive me of all my sin. Save me right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. Now in the auditorium, friend, while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you a couple of things. Number one, are you glad he saved you? He said, I want you to remember this night. I want you to do it for the rest forever. He wants those Jews to think back and remember what he did for them. Don't ever forget what he did for you. And then this Easter season, we ought to be so thankful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. There'll be some Christians, I think, that want to come and get around this altar this morning and just thank him and pray for your family that's lost. In this building this morning, I believe with all my heart, there's some of you, God, the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart. Maybe you've already prayed that prayer. I know God's going to save you. He'll save you. If you called on him, he saved you. You need to grow in the Lord. You need to read the Word of God. He'll make it more real to you day by day. But he said you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That's why we give a public invitation, so you have an opportunity. You don't have to make a big speech, but by coming, you're saying physically, today I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord.